Amen. Psalm 21 in your Bibles, please. Psalm 21. It's a joy to be back in the book of Psalms. We were in Psalm 20 last week. As a reminder, as we get into Psalm 21, Psalm 20 was a kind of a praise and a prayer before of the battle. And Psalm 21 seems to be kind of a praise and a prayer after the battle, after victory. Are they linked together? Is one because of the other? There's no way to know for sure. I don't want to say what the Bible doesn't say. But I do appreciate the fact that they are together in the Psalms as we look at them, and grateful for that. And so Psalm 21, if you would, in your Bibles, and stand together and read it together. Psalm chapter 21. Bible says, The king shall joy in thy strength. And again, when you look at the, you've got first person, second person, third person, when you look at the wording of Psalm 20, and it seems to be coming from a individual talking about the king trusting in God, trusting in chariots, or some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord. But if you look at the beginning of Psalm 20, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Send thee help out of the sanctuary. Remember all thy offerings. God grant thee according to thine own heart. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. And then it says in verse 9, save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. And so it seems to be coming from the perspective of, it's a psalm of David, but in the same perspective that Psalm 21 is. But look at verse 1 again. The king shall joy in thy strength, in God's strength. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. Even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. We're going to preach about our God of victory tonight for a little bit of time. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you and thank you for the fact that you are a God of victory, that you are in control of all things. You're on your throne, Lord, and you have a desire to bless those who trust in you. You have a desire to bless those who submit to you. You have a desire to bless those who look to you, Lord, and your word says you've never seen the righteous forsaking, Lord, we thank you for that truth, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to look to you tonight, that you'd help me. I need you, and Lord, we need you. I know that we have a house full of people tonight who's been busy this week, today, and they're looking to hear from you, and so may you help us. As was already prayed, Lord, to be the Christians we need to be the witnesses we need to be the examples we need to be, and hopefully this will help us with that tonight, Lord. We just trust you in all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. So much you receive. No silly illustrations or stories. We're just going to get right into it tonight with this. And there's several we could that went through my mind, but I just thought, you know what? Let's just jump right into it tonight. And again, like I mentioned, Psalm 21, another Psalm of David. If you remember Psalm 20, and was kind of a prayer before a battle, it seemed to be. And Psalm 21 is certainly praise after victory. Again, whether they're connected or not, I don't know for sure. I just like that they're together. And so you have a prayer before the battle, but you also have praise before the battle. You have David praising God before they even engage in battle in Psalm 20. And we're not going to re-preach all that. We've already talked about that. We'll reference some verses here in a minute. But now you have praise for victory in Psalm 21. So we see a statement made in Psalm 1 that's going to be kind of our theme for the night. Or Psalm 21, verse 1. Look what it says there. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. I want us to kind of understand maybe what our perspective of God should be tonight. How do we view God? How do we see God? How do we honor God? When there's battle ahead, do we look to God? When there's victory, do we praise God for it? Do we rely on God? Do we trust God? David uses two words here. He uses the word joy in verse 1. I need some joy in my life. Don't you? Yeah. We can have a hard day and joy just kind of stands out. Kind of like going all the way back to Psalm 1 where David says, blessed is the man. We need those blessings. And we live in a society today where blessings just kind of stand out amongst all of the things that are negative, all the things that are discouraging. We need blessings. And we need joy. And David here uses the word joy. And he says, the king shall joy in thy strength. And then he uses a word at the end of the verse, rejoice. Rejoice. We know the song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can sing it with me. Are you all ready? Okay, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Should we do a round? Should we do that? Yeah, should we? Okay, well, you guys are going to start it, okay? So you guys are going to be, you're going to start it, and then we're going to pick it up. Y'all need to sing loud, though, because I can't lead both groups at the same time. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I, here we go, everybody together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Hey, good job. Brother Glenn will be waiting for you in the choir coming up. Unless he disapproves of that, didn't really... like, was that good enough? Okay, it was good enough. Amen. There's much to rejoice about, isn't there? There's much to be joyful about. But David gets specific about some things here in Psalm 21 about why he's rejoicing. And he uses the words there in Psalm 21 in verse 1, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. He says at the beginning of the verse, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. So I want to look at some things to rejoice about. First of all, number one, we just mentioned it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Say, what do you mean, though? How do we do that? What is David talking about? Why is he rejoicing in the Lord? The king shall joy in thy what? Are you there? Verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength. Find joy in God's strength. Find joy in God's strength. Paul begged God, he prayed to God, that God would remove an infirmity, a thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked God, would you remove this? And God said no. And Paul said, therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he found joy in God's strength during his hard time. What are you going through? What are you facing in your life that is an infirmity or a thorn, something that you can't handle, something that is difficult for you? I want you to understand you can find joy, in, not in your strength, because you keep looking for your strength. It's going to fail, but you can find joy in God's strength. And David said, I'm going to rejoice in God's strength. You need his strength. You can't make it on your own. You've disappointed yourself how many times? You've discouraged yourself how many times? God's never failed you. God has never failed you. David said, well, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because of his strength. You know, here's what's interesting. He prayed for that in chapter 20, verse 1. Look at that if you would. He didn't use the word strength, but the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. He asked for God's help in chapter 20, verse 1. And he's saying, we're going to look to God for defense. We're going to look to God for help. And well, in chapter 21, in verse 1, it looks like God helped. Find joy in his strength. He prayed for defense. He saw God's strength. And then he says in verse 1, the king shall join thy strength, O Lord, and in thy what? Salvation. In thy salvation. In thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Again, David prayed for this in Psalm 20. Or actually, he before the battle or before the difficult time, whatever is being referenced there in Psalm chapter 20, look at verse 5. He rejoiced in God's salvation before the salvation happened, before the deliverance happened. He rejoiced in God's salvation. He had an anticipation or an expectation of God's salvation. In chapter 20 and verse 5, he says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. It's going to happen. It's coming. I know it is. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And so in chapter 21, verse 1, we are rejoicing in thy salvation. I love it. It's awesome. What does the Bible say about praying in faith? In James, when you pray in faith, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Say, how can I pray in faith? Well, you can pray in faith because you serve a God who has strength. You serve a God who can. I hope you believe that tonight. Rejoice in the Lord. Find joy in his strength. Find joy in his salvation. Number two, rejoice in what the Lord has done. Rejoice in what the Lord has done before. So what has God done? What's David referencing here? Look at verse 2 of Psalm 21. All the way through verse 7, you can see this is something God has done. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholding the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou, the king. David is really talking about himself, kind of like when John in the Gospel of John said, whom the beloved of the Lord, the Lord's beloved. He was talking about himself. And that's what David's doing here too. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Look what God has done. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. What has God done in your life? Think about it. What has God done? Has God been good? Has there ever been a day where God's not been good to you? Never. He's always good. And when you're going to face a battle, when you're going to face a hard time, we're going to face something in your life, remember what God has done. Rejoice in what God has done. And as you face what's coming and you remember those victories of the past, it will certainly help you. What did God do for David? Well, look at verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. What has God done for you? He's listened to your heart. He knows your heart. He inclines his ear to your heart. And he's paid attention to your request. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Look at Psalm 20, verse 4. Look what it says there. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Look at 21 and verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. I love it. God, would you grant him according to his heart? God, you did. God, would you? Thank God. Thank you, God, for doing it. I love it. It's awesome. That's what God has done for David, and that's what God will do for you. He's paid attention to your request. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 21, or Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Look at this. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions before the battle. They're saying, we're going to set up the banners. What do the banners represent? The banners represented victory. You could say flags. You could say something that symbolized the army or whatever was they were looking to for pride in what they were doing. And we're just going to go and set them up ahead of time. We've got the victory coming up. God's going to grant our petitions. God's going to grant our requests. And in Psalm chapter 21 and verse 2, he's paid attention to your request. What else has God done? He has showered you with blessings. Look at verse 3. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Wow. Here's another psalm that talks about blessings. We have already done it in previous psalms that we've preached, but the word blessing comes up multiple times from Psalm 1 all the way to Psalm 21. There's a couple psalms that don't have the word blessing in it or that don't reference the blessings of God. And I mean, just blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. It's amazing. And that's the reason for a lot of these psalms is praising God for the blessings that God has given us. You say, what kind of blessings? Seriously, Pastor, what kind of blessings should I praise God for in my life? How about material blessings? Look at verse 3. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Has God given you material blessings in your life? Has he? Has he provided you with a job? Do you have a house? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have a car? Do you have clothes on your back? God's provided material blessings. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Look at the word preventest in verse 3. Thou preventest him. Sound to us, we would think, well, he's stopping something. No, the word prevent there literally means meets him or precedes him. Okay, so to prevent would be to interject or to intercede or to interrupt or to be the first or to be the initiator or to be the one that is the cause of things to prevent. And so God is the one. He has, when I couldn't come to him, he came to me. He's interceded on our behalf. It's time and time and time again. There are things that God does for us that we don't realize on a day-to-day basis. How many, I mean, we're talking about spiritual battles going on when Satan wants to destroy, he wants to work in our lives, and God, through his messengers, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through circumstances, through situations, we have no idea how many times God has on a day-to-day basis interceded, prevented, worked on our behalf. God's good to you every day. Physical blessings, verse 4. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. If you struggle physically, you appreciate physical blessings. Amen? You don't walk around throughout the day thinking, if you, I was just talking to somebody about having a headache today, tonight, and you don't walk around throughout the day when you don't have a headache. You don't walk around going, I'm so glad that I don't have a headache, unless you just previously had one. But, you know, we don't think about that. We don't go around thinking, wow, I don't have a headache. Praise the Lord. But when you have a headache and it goes away, then you're thinking, praise the Lord. I mean, we pray, and that's just a silly illustration, but physical blessings are from God. And we ought to praise Him for that. Rejoice in what God has done for you. He showered you with blessings. He showered you with material blessings. He has showered you with physical blessings. Verse 5, He showered you with positional blessings. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon Him. Verse 6, He showered you with emotional blessings. For thou hast made Him most blessed forever. Thou hast made Him exceeding, what's that word? Glad with thy countenance. Somebody said to me, or asked me one time, why aren't you glad? And I thought I had a good answer. I started to tell all about my struggles, my problems. And he said, are you saved? I said, well, yeah, but. He goes, wait, are you saved? Well, yeah, but you're saved. Yeah. Why aren't you glad? Because, no, you're saved. I'm like, okay, I get your point. And I started thinking about it. He's absolutely right. What's going on in your life right now? What difficulties are you facing? What challenges? We don't want to belittle those necessarily, but we don't want to make more of them than they are either. And you're saved, amen? You're going to heaven when you die. Because God's blessings in our lives, not only does He bless us materially, but physically, positionally, and emotionally. It feels good to be glad. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Rejoice in His blessings. Why did God bless us like that? Why does God continue to bless us? Why does God continue to bless you? No, I mean, we sin on a day-to-day basis. And God continues to shower us with His blessings. We can go to several psalms. One of my favorites is Psalm 103. If you look there, please. Psalm 103. It says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are His benefits? Here they are. He's forgiven your iniquities. Amen? He healeth all thy diseases, physical blessings. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God, we are blessed by God, but it says here for us to bless the Lord. And it tells us why. Because of all the benefits that God has given us. And it just continues time and time and time again. And he ends the psalm then with verse 20, bless the Lord ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Okay, the angels bless the Lord. You might say that makes sense. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Then look at this. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I preached this before, and I love those words, oh, my soul, because that means all that is within me. With everything I've got, with my emotions, with my being, with my wherewithal, bless God, honor God, praise him, rejoice in what he's done for you. Say, okay, great, but I love those blessings materially. I need some of that, physical blessings. I need some of that, positional blessings. I could use some favor with man. You know, it feels good to have favor with others and to know that maybe there's not for pride purposes, but you want to have favor with somebody at work. You want to have favor with a family member, somebody you might be witnessing to. You want to have favor with God and man. And then emotional blessings. How do I get those? Again, going back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that. It tells you right there how to get God's blessings. If you want God's blessings, say amen. That standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is a man that does not do these things. Is that all? No, it goes on. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here's the blessings. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. That's blessings. Then it goes on to say, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm glad Psalm 1 was the first psalm in all the psalms. You can bring them all right back to it. So rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in what the Lord has done, rejoice in his blessings, rejoice in the mercy of the Lord. Verse 7. Psalm 21, back in Psalm 21, verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. When you think of mercy, you usually think of God withholding punishment. Show me mercy. Withhold punishment. But God's mercy means way more than that. Are you familiar with Lamentations 3:22? Lamentations 3:22, if you want to turn there and look at that real quick. I love that this, again, here's another verse that kind of links itself with Psalm 20. And Psalm 21, 7 is kind of has a lot to do with Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 21, 7 says, we will trust in, or the king trusteth in the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord. He's saying, some will trust in chariots, some in horses, some trust in what the world can provide, some trust in their 401k, some trust in their 403b, some trust in whatever they can do themselves, but we will trust in the Lord. We'll remember the name of the Lord. And in Psalm 21, verse 7, he says, the king trusteth in the Lord. I before the battle, God, I trust you. After battle, God, I trust you. And because I trust you, the mercy of the Most High, through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's, what's that word? Mercies that we are not consumed. Yeah, God withholding punishment. But look at this. Because his compassions fail not. Because his compassions fail not. Then it goes on to say, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is new every morning? The mercies. Well, yeah, the mercies are new every morning. But it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his, what? Compassions fail not. We do that one more time, just so we're all together, okay? Is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his what? Compassions fail not. They, what's they? Compassions. They are new every morning. Every morning, God's compassion. Yes, his mercies are new, sure. But his mercies are a result of his compassion. The compassion is the driving force of God's mercy. Because God has compassion for you, he shows you mercy. Because God loves you, As a parent loves his or her child, has compassion for a child, that parent also shows mercy from time to time. compassions are new every morning with God. Did you mess up yesterday? Did you sin yesterday? God's compassions are new every morning. Now, his compassion is also the driving force for his chastisement as well. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. So his compassion, his love, is also the driving force for his chastisement. But that's still God's mercy, because he doesn't have to prevent, the verse said. He doesn't have to intercede. He doesn't have to step in there when we're going astray. But because he has compassion for you, that's the driving force for his chastisement. And so he's going to get your attention some way, somehow. And that is God's mercy, because he could just let you go. And so David says here in Psalm 21, verse 7, the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he, the king, shall not be moved. Through the mercy of the Most High, you shall not be moved. You know the song, I shall not be moved. Why? Because you're trusting in God. David is not referring to God's mercy as just a withholding of punishment, but he's appealing to what Jeremiah said in Lamentations. He's referring to God's mercy as being a result of God's compassion. Again, it's not that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, but they are for sure, but it's that the Lord's compassions are new every morning. So when David says, through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. He's saying this, because again, we're talking about rejoicing. And he begins with rejoicing. And he's saying, rejoice in God's mercy. God's mercy provides a sure foundation. Look what he says. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Rejoice in the mercy of the Lord. Rejoice in that you have a sure foundation. You have a rock. You have something you can stand on. You have someone you can stand on. You have someone you can count on. You have a solid rock in whom you can trust. And it's not because of you. It's because of God's mercy. It's because of God's compassion. You're his child, and he will protect you. He will watch over you. Why? Because he has compassion toward you as a parent has compassion for a child. Passion is a driving force for God's mercy. He loves you. He wants to protect you. And sometimes that protection involves mercy. Sometimes that protection involves chastisement. But he shows you mercy, or he shows you chastisement, because he loves you and wants to protect you. Listen, he picks you up. And he shows you that because he loves you and protects you, you have a sure foundation. You cannot be moved. You can rest on that. But all is a result of trusting in the Lord. Because that's how the verse started. For the king trusteth in the Lord. You see, David said he would trust in the Lord in chapter 20, verse 7. And he did trust in the Lord. And you see the result of it. And then, rejoice in the future. Look at verse 8. See, for those who trust in the Lord, here's what happens. Here's the result of trusting God. Trusting God results in wisdom. Look at verse 8. Thine hand, again, the king, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. The king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. He's trusting in God, and so the result is wisdom. Find out all thine enemies. Find out those that hate. Or discernment. You need wisdom in your life? We do, don't we? Make decisions. We need discernment in our lives. We need God's discernment, God's wisdom. That's where it is right there. That's what it's talking about. God's wisdom, God's discernment. Trusting God results in victory. I got this one from Pastor Lloyd Reed. I was doing some reading and came across this. I love what he said here about this in verse 9. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. There's a confidence here. There's a victory here that David has. It's not like wondering or questioning or doubting or hoping. It's saying thou shalt. That's a sure word. That's the same word that is used in Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no question about it. And so that's what David's saying here. Thou shalt make them as a fire oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. There's a confidence, a victory that comes because you're trusting God. Verse 10. So trusting God results in wisdom. Trusting God results in victory and confidence. Trusting God protects your children. Look at verse 10. Their fruit, the enemy, their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. How is that protecting our children? Well, if their fruit is destroyed, my fruit is protected. Those after them, God's taking care of them. Not only God can bring you victory, but God can and will bless another generation because of your faithfulness to God. See, here's the thing. Your children, parents, need you to trust God. My children need me to trust God. My children need me to honor God. My children see when I don't honor God, right? My children see when I'm a hypocrite. I call myself a Christian, but I'm not living like it. I'm not acting like it. That's going to breed rebellion. That's going to breed resentment in my kids when I say, you know what, we ought to be faithful to God. I'm not faithful to God. You know what? Listen, do what's right. Do what pleases God, but I don't do what's right and I don't please God. That's going to cause resentment and rebellion in my kids. Teenager, you call yourself a Christian, act like it at school. Act like it. Otherwise, somebody's going to be like, Christian. It doesn't line up. People need to see that we trust God. And then you see that we live as somebody who trusts God. Because trusting God results in wisdom, results in victory, protects children. And trusting God, look at this, look at verse 12, deters the enemy. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Now all I can think about when I see verse 12 is what happens to the deer when I make ready the arrow on my bow. As soon as I make that thing ready, it's like they just turn their back and they walk away. Like you're going the wrong way. No, I'm ready. You're supposed to come back. But actually, this is a good thing in verse 12. God makes ready his arrow, and the enemy see and flee. How many of you have a bigger brother? Okay. How many were the bigger brother? All right, or sister. How many had a friend in school that demanded the fear of other students around? Anybody like that? How many of you were that student? Okay. I had a confidence walking down the hallway with that friend. I was 5'3 in eighth grade. People were like, how do you know you're 5'3 in eighth grade? Because the girl I liked was 5'4, and so she was taller than me. I was 5'3 in eighth grade, and my brother was close to 6 foot when he was in eighth grade. was short. I was short all the way to my junior year. And but when I walked down the hallway with certain friends, man, I had a confidence. Too much confidence, a little pride. I could run my mouth pretty good when they were around because I wasn't worried about it. But when they weren't around, I hid like a chicken. My brother didn't stick up for me that much. He was usually the one picking on me and beating me up. But only he was allowed to beat me up. Nobody else was allowed to beat me up. And so when somebody else was around, I felt confident with my bigger brother being there. There's a confidence like that. And you think about little kids with their dads. You know, they still think their dad is the strongest in the world. You know, and the toughest in the world. And there's a confidence that goes along with that kind of a relationship. When you know you're right with the Lord, when you trust the Lord with your everyday steps, you know God's got this. It gives you confidence, not pride, not pride. It actually should be humbling, to be honest with you, because even Satan turns away when you stand with God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not resist the devil. It's not say, devil, go away. And the devil will be like, okay, he goes away. No, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. You're walking with somebody who's greater than the devil, who's bigger than the devil. You're right with somebody. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. When you trust in God, it makes even your enemies, it deters the enemy. When you trust in God, it keeps Satan at bay. When you put your faith and trust in God, listen, he's going to protect his children. And it's not pride. It's humbling because it requires submission. And that is humbling. I mean, submitting to God, submitting to God's will. When it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, what does that mean? It means obey God. It means obey God. Why does Satan keep getting a victory in my life? Are you obeying God? The act of disobeying God is giving Satan the victory. So to submit to God, it means obey him. I'm not happy. Are you obeying God? This problem doesn't go away. Are you obeying God? I don't have joy. David did. He started with joy in verse 1. Why did he have joy? Because he trusted God. See, if I'm going to trust God, I have to be with God. Like for Josiah to trust me, he's got to be with me. I mean, he still gets scared going downstairs in the basement of the house sometimes at night. Hey, Joe, go downstairs and could you go put this tool on the tool bench, or could you go grab the trash, or could you go feed the cat? Okay, he opens the door, he starts going downstairs, and then he's about halfway down. He comes like, Daddy, and he runs back up. What? I heard a noise. Want me to go with you? Yeah. You know what? When I go with him, he feels confident. Because he's with his dad, right? I know. He's with his dad. He feels confident. So he went hunting with me. After Autumn and Levi got their deer, Joe's like, my turn. So he went hunting with me. He didn't have anything to shoot with, but he sat with me. And so we got down off the stand at night. And he has his headlight, I have my headlight. And we're walking out. And we're in this area that has like a meadow. Carl's seen it. And it's like taller grass. It's a bedding area for the deer. And I just thought I'd try something. And I said, here, let me see your light. So he gave me his light. And I still had mine. I turned his light off. I turned my light off. I just kind of stepped back like this. Wasn't a good idea. He goes, Daddy! And he turns around. He looks for me. I tucked my light. And all of a sudden he had confidence again. Because he was with his dad. So you're mean. I know. I'm mean. He'll get me back when he's taking care of me when I'm in a nursing home or something like that one of these days. You can't trust. He can't trust his dad if he's not with his dad. And you can't trust God for the circumstances in your life if you're not having a steady relationship with God. And he says the king trusts, and here's the result of all this trust. When you submit to God, the devil flees. When you submit to God, your trust is in God. When your trust is in God, then Psalm 21, verse 12 happens. So, then, last. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice in the mercy of the Lord. Rejoice in the future. Trust in the Lord. And rejoice in God's power. Look at verse 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Rejoice in God's power. Chapter 20, verse 5. Look there, please. We rejoice before the battle. Look what it says. We will rejoice. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We rejoiced in God's salvation or in his power before. Psalm 21, verse 1. So Psalm 20 is before the battle. Psalm 21 is after the battle. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. And then in verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord. It sounds like he's rejoicing still. Sing and praise, so we will sing and praise thy power. David shows us a proper way to express that rejoicing. Say, I want to rejoice. What does that look like? How do I do that? Exalt him. Be thou exalted. Exalt him. Don't exalt yourself, exalt him. How does that look? Like Isaiah. He saw God high and lifted up. Holy. The angels were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Lord of hosts. And Isaiah saw God for who he was, and Isaiah saw himself for who he was. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Exalt God. See yourself for who you are. And then he says, so we will sing and praise thy power. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice in his mercy. Rejoice in the future. Can you rejoice tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, we're thankful for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. God, I ask that you would help us to look to you for strength and guidance. Lord, that you would help us to remember all the things, all the blessings you've given us. And Lord, to rejoice in you. We need you. In Jesus' name. Amen.